All I want is you, Jesus. I surrender all to you, Jesus. I walk by faith and I'm overtaken by your love. Your eyes are like fire as you look deep into my eyes. And I want to whisper the name of Jesus. But then I get more excited and I start speaking out the name of Jesus. And then I shout the name of Jesus for the whole world to hear, surrendering all to him. For he's worth it. He's what we're all about. He's our everything. Jesus, sweet, sweet Jesus. Hallelujah. And tonight, we're going back to a series that I have not touched in, believe it or not, 2 years, and that is faith scenarios. And I want to preface this with the fact that all these faith scenarios we have done, the two that we'll do tonight, and there's one more that I have written out ready to go. There are many more in life, for they're all around us. And I want to say that every one of these that we have done has been someone that Pastor Joshua and I know. And they have lived these situations. And some of them have been ABCers, some of them not. Some of them have walked by faith and made the right choices. And some of them have not made the right choices, not made the faith choices. And there have been consequences in their lives. So we want to really understand what it means to walk by faith. It's easy enough to say the words. We've studied Mark 11:24 here, which is the prayer of faith, many, many times, all through healing school, all through School of Dominion and regular services. You'd think it'd be just second nature to us by now. But you know what? When the rubber meets the road and we face our situations in life, sometimes it isn't quite that obvious. And we need to put on our spiritual eyes and see the situation not for the circumstances that are glaring us in the face, that Satan's trying to attack us, and he's curtain up against us, and all we can see is this junk in front of us. We need to take a step back and recognize it for what it is, an attack of the enemy. And we need to remember that Jesus Christ lives on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We need to remember these things. And when the attacks of life, when the circumstances of life come up against us, we need to take that step back and we need to remember that. And we need to seek God. We need to seek his way of doing things. We need to ask his direction. We need to look to him. We've heard that we make 25,000 decisions in a day, and we've talked about this over and over, but even today, how many times of those 25,000 times did we ask the Holy Spirit today? Anything. Lord, guide me. Lord, direct me. Lord, what should I do? Lord, what should I say? How many times? It's probably nowhere near 25,000. I think we all have a lot to work on still. So the idea of these faith scenarios is for us to look at this person's situation. And we take ourselves and we put ourselves in that person's shoes. And we try to imagine, what if this happened to me? What would I do? What should I do? Now, the last time I did this, I had us mark two answers on our sheet. One was what we thought was the correct answer, the walking by faith answer. And the other one is, for me, in all honesty, where I am right now in my faith walk, and this is just strictly between each one of us and God, which answer would I give if I were to do this today? It may be the same one. It may not be. And I'm not going to ask you that one. That's between you and God. This is like the ABC quizzes and tests. The main purpose of those is for us to take a look at ourselves and see, where are we? What do I have down on the inside of me that is solid and it's secure? And I know I can walk with God with this. And what part of it is just a little not so sure yet? I'm not so confident in this yet. I'm not ready to walk by faith in that part yet. To me, that's a giant step, and I'm good with little steps. This is for us to evaluate, because where we are in these last days, these things are going to come to us. We're going to face them. And this is practice. Okay? This is for us to take a look, to think through the process. I talked to somebody earlier today who encouraged me so much. When I told her I was going to be teaching on faith scenarios, she got really excited and said, "Oh, wonderful. I love those." I learned so much from it. I may not have been in that situation, but it helps me process the idea of walking by faith, of looking at it through God's eyes, so that when my own situations come up, I can make better decisions according to the Word of God. And that is the purpose of these. So we have two tonight. Would somebody like to pass these out? Let me make sure I saved one for me. Yes. Okay, thank you. This first one is called Sleepwalk. Sleepwalk. And as soon as you get your handout, you may start to look at it, to read it through, and have two separate marks. If you have two different color pens, you can do that, or use two separate marks, like one being a check mark and one an X, or an X and an asterisk, or whatever you want to do. You decide which one you're going to mark for, which one is the faith answer, and which one would be your answer right now. Okay? I know we take these home with us, and we look them over, and we study them. So we're going to take a look, and you might put a date. Well, the date is on the bottom here, on the bottom right. So maybe take a look back at this in a few weeks or a few months and see if your answer would be different, because we should all be growing and learning. So I'm going to be quiet for a couple of minutes and give you a chance to read, study, and focus on what this is saying here. And make your two different marks, the faith answer in what you would do if you were in this spot today. And we'll pick it up here in just a few minutes. If everybody, when you're done, could look up at me so I know when everybody's done. Okay? That would help. Okay, does anybody need any more time? Raise your hand. Okay, guess we're ready to move on then. Okay, faith scenario, sleepwalk. After a very trying and tiring day, Paul got to bed late on Saturday night and then had trouble getting to sleep. He tossed and turned and finally drifted off to sleep about 7 a.m. Sunday morning, just when his alarm turned on because he had church service scheduled to begin at 9 a.m. What should Paul do? Okay, now normally I just go down one by one by one, and we will in a minute, but I'm going to ask for a show of hands as I go through each one. Let's first of all say which one you think is the faith answer by a show of hands. What about A? Anybody think A is the faith answer? Okay. B. Okay. C. Okay. D. E. And F.
Is this the first selection?
This is for the faith answer, the answer that you believe would be, not for what you would do, but for what you believe the right, quote unquote, right answer would be. Okay? Okay, so we are leaning very heavily toward D and F. Well, let's take them one by one and analyze why the others might not be the right answer. Okay, what should Paul do? A, turn off his alarm and go back to get some much-deserved sleep. Okay, why is this not a faith answer according to everybody's voting? And this, remember, is participation, so I need to hear from you. This is not just me teaching. I will repeat whatever it is that you say so that those live streaming will be able to hear. Yes?
I've been disciplined to get up at 9.
Okay, he didn't have the discipline to go ahead and get up then. Okay? Anybody else have any comments? You know, we're...
Lack of faith.
Okay. Was perhaps more interested in getting sleep than going to church. Okay.
Walking by sight,
not faith. Because he hadn't gotten to sleep all night, so he was really sleepy, really tired. And so he's thinking, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. Oh boy, sleep sounds good, and I'm just starting to drift off. Okay, I'll just slide back in. Okay, that would be A. Okay, B, nobody chose B, to reset his alarm for 9 a.m. so he can attend the 11 a.m. service and still get some sleep. Okay, nobody chose that one. Why not? What is there about this one that doesn't sound like a faith choice?
He's compromising.
He's lazy. He's compromising. Okay, anybody else?
Never said nothing about 11 a.m. on the paper.
Uh-huh. Okay, so interestingly enough, he was scheduled for 9, but now there's a second choice. So he has a plan B, huh? Backup. So what do we know about faith and plan B? Plan Bs are not faith, right? Okay. Okay, number C. Now, we did have one person who thought this might be a possibility. Go to the 9 a.m. service because he refuses to allow the devil to prevent him from doing what has always been his custom. Okay, now what is your thoughts about this? Because majority of people said, why?
There's got to be a reason why you choose one and don't choose the others. So tell me what you're thinking. This is part of the faith process. This is how we work it through and say, what are our options? Okay, which one is pleasing to God because it is full of faith? Which other ones might be lazy, compromising, whatever? What is wrong with this one?
I think the reason why is because I don't want to go to church to, you know, with my focus on the devil. I want to go to church with my focus on God.
Okay. I don't want to go to church with my focus on the devil. I want to go to church with my focus on God. Okay. That's a good thought. Anybody else have anything additional they'd like to add to that?
You don't want to just make it a custom.
Ah, now there's a key word. You hit one of the key words in this one, custom. It was his custom. Why do you think it was his custom?
Because he always did it.
Because he always did it.
But it was just him doing it, not God.
Okay, and that was he doing it and not God. Very perceptive. That is a major, major key there. Okay, so we'll come back to that too. D, about half of everybody raised their hands thinking this might be the right one. D, turn off his alarm, get up and go to church. We're talking the 9 a.m. service now because that's what his custom was. Sleepy or not, because the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage and will refresh him. Okay. Is this a true statement? Does the anointing destroy the yoke of bondage and will the anointing refresh us? Yes. Okay. So, sleepy or not, was this a good decision? Turn off the alarm? Because it was ready to go off anyway, to get up and go ahead and go to church? This a good thing? Okay. It's he's not being lazy. He's not procrastinating. He's not letting sleepiness take over. So all those are good points, right? Okay. But we have to go back to C. But he is going to the 9 o'clock service again because it's his custom. Okay. Since the other half of the people chose F, let's skip from D to F. Turn off the alarm, get up, and go to church, the 9 a.m. service, to show the devil that a lack of sleep won't keep him from his appointment with God. What stands out in everybody's mind with this one? What are some key words in here?
Appointment.
Appointment.
Habit.
Habit.
Lack. I think the best example is Pastor Joshua, what he just went through.
This isn't about him, though. Just to clarify, he is not Paul. But what was just said was that's kind of an example of what Pastor Joshua has done with the last few days and weeks, where there's been a lot going on and not much sleep, that he's here anyway.
Amen.
So praise God. And see, that's a good thing. You know, all the answers aren't always just totally clear cut. It isn't just always this or that. Sometimes there's shades of truth in this one and shades of truth in that one. And we have to look at the whole picture and see what's going on here. So, okay, appointment. Now that kind of goes back to the word in C about custom, right? Now, maybe it was his custom because he considered it an appointment with God, right? And because it's a temptation to go back to sleep, he's showing the devil that he's not receiving that temptation to go back to sleep, but he considers church more important than sleep, which is a good decision, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, now let's back up from F and go back to E. Pray and ask God what he should do. I find it interesting nobody chose that one. At what point do you think he should have prayed about the service? Before when? Before he went to bed. Okay. So then the question is whether or not he prayed, and if he prayed, when he prayed. So is it a custom because he asked God up front? Is an appointment with God because he asked God up front what he should do? And maybe he asked God some time ago, and he's always done the 9 o'clock service because once upon a time God said, go the 9 o'clock service. Now, do you think it's possible that maybe God might have wanted him to go to the 11 o'clock service sometime?
Yeah.
Rather than the 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
So when should he pray? Now, it was said before he goes to bed. So before he goes to bed, when he's getting set to go to this church for the next 10 years, or every week? Oh, come on, that can't be that hard.
Every week.
Every week. Yeah. We want to ask God on a continual basis, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Lead me, guide me, Lord. So we tend to get in habits, customs, rituals when there are choices. Oh, I like to go the early service so I can have the rest of the day to myself. I like to go the early service so I can get out and hit the restaurant before all the other churches let out. I like to go to the later service because I really like to sleep in. I stay up late on Saturdays, and I think I'll go to the later service because that way I can sleep in and get my beauty rest. You see the kinds of thinking that can take place? We have these different evaluations that we do, and maybe we'll make a change because the family's getting together, and normally maybe we go to the 11 o'clock service, but our family's saying, hey, we want to get together and celebrate your birthday. And they want to do it right in the middle of when you would be in church. So what do? You switch back to the early service so you can go with them to lunch at 11 because church wouldn't, to 10 o'clock service would, the 11 o'clock service would be just starting when they want to go to lunch. So we want to ask God, don't we? Or what if the family just said, you know, skip church, let's just get together. What is our priority? So to see, this should start with an ingrained decision that we have made that God is so important to us that yes, church, whatever time we go, is an appointment with God. I think too often we don't think of it that way. We just think, oh, it's going to church, and okay, you know, we got the praise and worship, and we got the teaching, and we see everybody, and we get to fellowship. And that's not the focus of church. It's benefits of the church. It's part of what is there. But the main thing is we're supposed to be coming to be with God, to grow close to him. That is our reason for going to church. But going to church should be a priority. When family starts saying, oh, we need to do this or that or the other at the time when you'd be going to church, then this is the faith action plan. Will the family be offended if we say, well, you know, I have church every week at that time?
They should.
But they do. They do, because a lot of times what we do, we've seen this over and over again with ABCers, where they put their family before God. And so after a while, if they decide, okay, God's become more important, so no, I got to go to church then. Well, you always get together with us. You know, come on, just do it this time. Whatever pattern you set, that's going to be what they're going to expect to have happen. Right? Okay. So, again, is it a custom because he asked God up front? Probably not. Is it an appointment with God because he prayed up front? Does not appear so. Or did he not pray before, and so he really needs to pray when? Now? The alarm has gone off. He hadn't slept. He wants to go to church. He needs to pray now. God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me at that 9 o'clock service? Well, I better get up and get going then. So we need to ask God. And so in this case scenario, the right answer depends on if and or when Paul prayed, because that is really the very best answer. Pray and do what God wants you to do when he wants you to do it. So our very best answer was E. Okay? Now, the ones you chose, remember, had some redeeming factors to them, but we want to look at the whole picture, and we want to make a decision based on all the factors. And so if God's number one, then we should be talking to him. We should be asking him. We should be having him as the one who leads us and guides us, right? Okay, praise God. Okay, now we have a second one. And this one, I also need to have passed out, please. Oh, thank you. This one's called Between a Rock and a Hard Place.
So the answer was C. E.
E is the faith-filled answer, yes. Our relationship with God should be filled with prayer. And as I say on the other ones, particularly C, D, and F, there are elements of those that have truth in them. But we're looking for the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Okay, so when you get your hand out on Between a Rock and a Hard Place, go ahead and read it through, and we'll go through the same process again. Remember to choose two answers. One is the faith answer, and the other one is what you personally believe that you would do were that happening to you today. And use a different mark or a different colored pen so that you know which one's which. And what you would do is between you and God. Again, that's a point of hopefully recognition and then growth for us to be able to know, well, maybe I'm not quite there yet today, but let me check back in a month or two, and I bet I will be. And as before, if you will look up at me when you are finished reading and marking the two choices.
Okay, does anybody need any additional time? Everybody's all set. Okay. Faith scenario, between a rock and a hard place. Maurice, as an international evangelist, was used to a full schedule of traveling the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The doctor's evil report of cancer in his body did not fit in with his schedule at all. So Maurice entered into an individual counseling program of healing under another man of God whom he trusted. The counselor's directions were that Maurice should cancel some of his speaking engagements to stay home and focus on the Word of God and his healing. However, Maurice's wife was especially concerned about how they would pay their bills with no income from speaking. What should Maurice do? Okay, again, by a show of hands, as I call each letter out, raise your hands to let me know if you consider this one the faith answer. A. Okay. B. Moving on. C. Okay, D. E. Okay, thank you. This, the Lord had me do it this way rather than the way I used to do it, which was taking them one by one first before we came to the answer. So this is very interesting. And remember what we said on the last one is that sometimes it's a clear-cut answer and sometimes there are innuendos which will lead you to consider different options. So nobody chose A. Let's take a look at why not for A. Understanding his wife's concerns and in agreement with her wishes, ignore the counselor's instructions, and continue his preaching engagements. Why is this not a faith answer? His wife had no faith.
He's under the direction of a counselor.
Aha, and he's under the direction of a counselor. And this was not what the counselor said to do, right? So he's leaning more toward his wife than he is to the counselor. Okay? That's a good reason for A to be not in faith. Okay, now what about B? Cancel the meetings. So he told them not to go in the speaking engagements. So he's canceling the meetings. But he makes phone calls to those same ministries to explain the situation, to raise some money to pay the bills. You know, it's like, okay, I'm not going to be able to come and speak, but would you guys take up an offering for me? I got to pay the bills. So
that's not faith.
That's not faith. No, that's leaning on somebody else. That's actually what I would call manipulation. Which is on the cusp of witchcraft. Trying to manipulate and control somebody else to do them what you want them to do. That is not a faith statement. It is not a faith action. It's not a good thing to do. Okay, now we had a couple people leaning towards C. Was stay home and trust God for the finances, but call ministries all over the world to pray for his healing. What's wrong with that? Say, okay, there's no faith. And what was it you said out here? You got to believe that you receive when you pray. Okay?
According to this, he's trusting God for his finances, but why not for his healing? Isn't it the same God? Isn't it the same Jesus who paid the price for everything that we would need? He paid the price for salvation, forgiveness from sins. He paid the price for healing, for prosperity, for meeting our needs. Jesus paid for it all. If we're going to believe him in one, why not another? Right? We need to believe him in all of it. So that obviously is not really faith. It sounds faith-filled, stay home and trust God for the finances, but is he really trusting God? Doesn't sound like it. Okay, now the majority of people came up with D. Stay home, focus on the daily scenarios for healing, and trust God for his finances. Okay, let's come back to that. Let's look at E. And there were a few people that chose this one, and let's evaluate this one. E, execute a faith action plan by continuing his speaking engagements because he thought that canceling his engagements would be a contradiction to his belief that he had been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So, what's up with this one? Is this good? Is this bad? Is this faith? Is it not faith? And why? Whichever way.
It shows a strong faith.
It shows strong faith. Okay? Because he's executing. He's not just choosing a faith action plan, but he's executing it, right? So we have said that we don't want to be just hearers of the word. We want to be doers also. So in executing a faith action plan, that's a hearer and a doer, right? Now, is he right in his belief that he has been healed by the stripes of Jesus? Is that not what the word promises?
Yes, but it says that he was under the counseling program of the man of God, and so he was disobedient to the man of God, so no matter what, he was in disobedience.
And there is the key, right there. In fact, let me read you what my note says here. The key is that he placed himself under the tutelage and thus the authority of the man of God who is guiding him through the steps of his healing. He needs to be submissive and obedient to the man of God whom he said he trusted. Right? Now he has to put some action. We talked about executing a faith action plan. Well, he started a faith action plan by putting himself under the guidance of this man of God who knew more about healing than he did. And he's looking to him to show him, what do I do? Guide me through this. And so the man of God is trying to do that. And the man of God has given him some instructions, has he not? Let's go back to the description here. So Maurice entered into an individual counseling program of healing under another man of God whom he trusted. The counselor's directions were that Maurice should cancel some of his speaking engagements to stay home and focus on the Word of God and his healing. Forget about the finances. Forget about the pressure that his wife is putting on him. Regardless of the circumstances and regardless of the pressure from those close to him who disagree with what his actions were. His wife obviously was not in faith about the healing, was obviously not in faith about the finances, because she is afraid that they can't meet their bills. And she's going by walking by sight, isn't she? Totally walking by sight. And you would think that her husband would be so precious to her that she would want to do everything in her power to work with him to receive his healing. Right?
Yes.
So that he'd still be around for her to enjoy.
Naaman. Healing. Seven times.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Naaman, who got leprosy, and this was when the Israelites were not in their own land, they were in a foreign land, and this young maiden was in the household of Naaman. And she said, I know how you can get healed. Remember this story? I know how you can get healed. Go to the man of God, and he'll tell you, the Hebrew man of God. This man was not a Hebrew, but he wanted his healing. He wanted to get rid of the leprosy. So he went to the man of God, and what did he tell him? Go to the Jordan River and dip yourself seven times in the Jordan River, and you will be healed. Now, was that a difficult thing for him to do? I mean, all he had to do is go to the river and one, two, you know, seven times dipping in the water. But what was his attitude? The Jordan River? That's a dirty river. My country has nice, clean rivers. Why should I have to go to another country and go to their river? You know, he's like, pride's getting in the way of his healing. But the little girl said, it's a simple thing he asks you. Just do it. Just do it. And so he finally said, oh, okay, okay. So he goes and he dips the seven times. He comes up the seventh time and his skin is like baby's flesh. So he didn't obey at first, but at the little girl's encouragement, he did. And following the words of the man of God, he knew how to direct him. And the man did finally put himself under the man of God's direction, and he got his healing when he did. Now, do you think that this man, if he put himself under, if he said to his wife, no, I need to focus on my healing, and God will take care of the finances. Just work with me here or leave me alone. And then get involved with getting into a private place, a place where he can be alone with God and working on his healing. This is one case where, I'm sorry to say, he gave in to his wife. And you know the result. This was cancer. And it was quite advanced. And he did die. Sorry to say. But see, these things are reality. And this is why we go through these scenarios. So we can take a look. Has it been helpful at all to you tonight to analyze these and what's good and what's bad about each woman? Understanding that it isn't always just a clear-cut choice, or sometimes it is clear-cut, but it's a hard choice. For him, this was a hard choice. There's the bills, there's the finances, there's his wife, there's his ministry, there's the people that want him to come speak, they want to hear him. Or settle in quietly with God to focus on his healing, and then, okay, I'll get back to you. See, it was a clear-cut choice, but it was a hard one because there was a lot of pressure on him trying to get him to make other decisions. Whenever we face these situations, Satan's after us with difficult decisions, peer pressure, the feelings and opinions of those close to us that would have us make a different decision from what we would make. There are distractions that come up. There are all kinds of things coming at us. And so the walk of faith is a step-by-step. And it's our talking to God first, saying, Lord, help me, show me the right way, what do I do? You have to believe, he had to have believed, that God directed him to put himself under this counselor. This man knew about healing, and he could help this Maurice. He could help him if he'd but do what he said. Now, it might take a little bit of time. Took effort. He needed peace in his household. But that's what faith is all about. It's taking that step where you don't even see where the road is. And you feel like you're just stepping out into a chasm. But as soon as you take that step, the road is there. The answer is there. God is there. And that's why we want to analyze faith. And why is this important? Because we're now in the last of the last days. And in many ways, life has not been normal. I mean, we look at the world around us. My husband and I are constantly going, everybody out there is crazy except us. You know, it's like the world is going to hell in a handbasket. They're making decisions that are absolutely off the wall, out in orbit, crazy, crazy, crazy. So we have to know our God. We have to know Him in our relationship with Him. We have to know what kind of decisions we're going to make. We have to be willing to put it all out for Jesus, withholding nothing, making Jesus number one, for that is what faith is all about. So basically, we want to say that faith sees the goal, sees the manifestation, and is not moved by circumstances, nor peer pressure, nor distractions. Faith does not give up. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises, right? Hebrews 6:12. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So we keep on keeping on. We keep up with your spiritual warfare against the enemy, who does not want you to receive anything from God. But yes, it is work, but God's way is always worth it. God's way is always worth it. It's worth the work. It's worth the effort. The rewards are out of this world phenomenal. In Jesus' name. Okay.
And I'm going to continue an addendum to her addendum, which is this. None of us are perfect, except maybe Cecil. But if we don't keep acting on the word where we are, taking one step towards God on the word where we are, then we never get to the point where God can reveal to us in our current life the areas in which we're not acting according to the word. For the level of people we want to be or we are, not acting according to the word is a sin. And we don't want to sin. Our goal is to reduce sin in our life, which means our goal is to be more consistent with the scriptures. But it is as we take the word of God and we compare it to what people want us to do, or where they want us to go, or what they think about what we're doing, as we compare to all these various forms of pressure, including the circumstances, your body may be yelling about something. As we do that, we make the word of God priority in our lives, and that allows God to start pulling the veil back to show us in what areas are we not living according to the Word of God. Let me give you an extreme example. And I'm not saying we should do this. I'm not even saying that people are right. But I want to show you a concept. The Amish and different religious groups have taken the scripture that says, come out of them and separate yourself from them, to the point where they basically are not industrialized. They use horse and buggies. I don't think they use electricity. And you say, but man, they're really extreme. They're really fanatic. True, but they are obeying the word of God. Now, when we go into the next millennial age, the kingdom of Jesus ruling on earth, do you really think we're going to have industrial burning of coal and, you know, things on your roof to give you energy? Do we really believe that? I mean, I don't know, but I don't think so. So the best model right now from that perspective right now is the model of the Amish and people like that. Now, am I saying they're right? I'm not. I'm certainly not saying they're wrong. What I am saying is, look at your own life and say, here's what I'm doing. Here's what I do with my day. What would Jesus do? Today, of the things I did today, which things did I do today that Jesus wouldn't do? And then try not to make the same mistake tomorrow. And some of them are so ingrained in our lives that it will take you a while to pull yourself out of it. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. Oh, she's going to add to my add.
An addendum to the addendum to the addendum. This is just an opinion relative to what he just shared. I'd always wondered why the Bible was so strong on agrarian examples. It was always talking about a farmer. You know, if you sow your seed and it's a farmer and it's all farming. And I thought, well, it's because it was the type of society that it was at the time the Bible was written. And so we just apply that, you know, to our situation now. But the more the Lord has revealed to Pastor Joshua through the book of Revelation and now the Living and Not Dying series and the times that are coming, I think there's a reason that God has it all be farmer-type examples. Okay? Farmer Cecil, Farmer John, Farmer Fred. Maybe we need to start thinking about that for ourselves.
And Cecil really is a farmer.